Good morning. You might hear some of the same thoughts that Brother Kelly gave us last week. I really appreciated the thoughts that he gave last week. We kind of were on the same wavelength, even though I've been thinking about doing this for several weeks. And this came about, the subject came about from a discussion we had in class on one Sunday morning. And it deals with forgiveness and grace. The comment was made by someone that we should always be forgiving. And another person said, well, that should just be a given for a Christian. And that got me thinking, am I always forgiving? Yeah, am I always caring to other people, kind to other people? Am I always gracious to other people? And another part of the comment was that we could have been more caring to an individual that they were related to here at our church. And I'm not going to mention any names at all because that doesn't matter. It's just, it got me thinking about some things that I'd like to bring out this morning about forgiveness and grace. So ask yourselves, is that really the way it is here? Are we always forgiving? What is true forgiveness? And do we always have to forgive? Also, is grace a part of forgiveness? Do we have grace, and what is grace? Do we show grace to others? Forgiveness is defined as the action or process of forgiving or being forgiven, or to cease to feel resentment against an offender. Or another definition of forgiveness could be giving up my right to hurt you if you hurt me. It's impossible here to live here on earth and not be hurt in some manner, offended in some manner, misunderstood, lied to, and rejected. But you know, it's how we respond to others that shows if we're a Christian or not. In our workplace, we can see this happening frequently. Someone says or does something to another person, and problems arise because of it. Sometimes it can escalate into bigger and bigger things. What all it would take is for the person that offended the other person to apologize and be forgiven. We all have seen this happen in our workplace, probably, if we worked very long. Have you ever had this situation before? If so, how did you handle it? I had this happen to me at work recently. I was trying to resolve a challenging situation at work with a patient, and I thought I had a helpful solution to help the pharmacist that I worked with to resolve this problem. And when I called to tell them, the phone was fairly close to them. Before they could talk to me, I could hear them laughing at me in the background. And I could hear them saying disrespectful things about me. I could tell who was doing that and what they were saying. I could hear what they're saying. Needless to say, I did not appreciate that at all. We are told by our manager to tell them about any problems that can arise, so I mentioned it to her, whether I handled it perfectly or not, and she listened to it, and I didn't give any names because I don't like to do that kind of thing. But my manager said that shouldn't happen, and that she was going to take care of it. She was going to talk to all the people that were there and get that straightened out. So you would think good things would come of that. So what happened is the people that were offended me by saying these things, they didn't talk to me for almost a month, 2 to 3 weeks, because of it. Nobody said they were sorry. Nobody admitted doing anything wrong. They just didn't talk to me, and they wouldn't have anything to do with me. So I'm in myself trying to forget about it, trying to not think about it anymore, to forgive their actions in my own mind so that I can move on and so that I can keep working with them. And you know, after about a month or 2 or 3 weeks or a month or so, it got better, and we're talking again. But it's still not going to be the same exactly as it was before. You know, I'm sure many of us have probably been through things in their life, whether it's in work or some other situation, that they've seen things like this. Ask yourselves, how did you handle that, and what became of it? You know, after somebody's wronged us, as I just mentioned a little bit, and we have forgiven or overlooked the things they've done to us. We're not necessarily always going to, we're going to be on guard, aren't we? We're going to not exactly think the same, especially out in the world of people, maybe, as we did before, if we don't truly overlook and forgive that. We're probably going to be careful and guarded the next time that similar situation arises where they're involved, especially if they continue with the same tendencies that they have, or they don't change. What we have done is simply release them from the wrong that they committed against us. Okay, I'd like to read a verse that talks about we forgive others because God forgave us. Ephesians 4:31 and 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And Romans 12:18 says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. God wants us to try to live peaceably with everybody we're around, if possible. It's probably not always going to be possible, but he wants us to try to be nice to other people and try to resolve a problem with them. Or simply release what we've done to them, or what they've done to us, excuse me. We also forgive them because we obey God's word. In Matthew 6:14 and 15, it says, for if you forgive them others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. In Romans 12:18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, I just read that verse, live peaceably with all men, which goes with that thought. We also are to forgive others because of God's word, and we're obedient to that. But you know, what if we don't feel like forgiving other people? Because, you know, there's times in our lives that we don't feel like forgiving others, especially forgiving those who have wronged us. Do we have to forgive them? To better answer this question, I'd like to read from an article that I found while searching for this title, for some more thoughts on this title. And it's entitled, No Forgiveness for the Unrepentant. And I'd like to read parts of this. And it says, Have you ever had it happen that when you were rebuked by an abuser, not only did they refuse to apologize to you, repent, or change their hurtful behavior to you, but they then proceeded to smugly inform you that God forgives them, because God forgives everything, and that the Bible says that you have to forgive them also. I have had that happen more than once, and all I can say to that is, nice try, because it's just not true. Biblical forgiveness doesn't work that way. Not even close. God forgives everybody who repents, not everybody who doesn't repent and continues sinning. Repentance means turning from one's sinful ways and changing one's life. It does not mean continuing on as before, and it does not mean stopping just one or two obnoxious behaviors that you have while continuing all the rest, or even finding some new ones. It might surprise such self-righteous offenders to learn that God does not forgive everybody, and that he does not tell us to either. In fact, there is one instance in Scripture of the Lord forgiving anyone who remains stiff-necked or stubborn and unrepentant. Before one starts quoting the Bible, it might be a good idea to actually read it first. When ungodly people state that God's word says something that justifies or facilitates their wickedness, I just love to hand them a Bible and ask them how to show me where exactly it says that. Usually they get all flustered, angry, or embarrassed, and quickly change the subject or storm off in a huff. If by some remote chance they can actually find the scripture they're referring to and conveniently misinterpreting, then we can read it in its context and explore it together. But that hasn't happened to me yet. Biblically speaking, no one gets forgiven without changing his ways and turning to God and godliness. In Galatians 6:7 it says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The Bible is not an excuse for abusive people to have a field day without ever suffering any consequences. The Bible does in fact tell us that we should forgive as the Lord forgave us in Colossians 3 and 13. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Also Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. But you know there are requirements that go with forgiveness, or the requirements for forgiveness. If we read in more depth and in context about God forgiving us, including the hows, whys, and under what circumstances, we will see that He only forgives us when we come to Him in the spirit of remorse, change our lives through His Son, ask for forgiveness, and repent or change. So if we're to forgive others as Christ forgives us, then we are to forgive them after that they have shown genuine remorse by the grace of Jesus' blood, and after they have repented or changed, not before. That is the formula for forgiveness that God models for us, and that is the formula for which He instructs us to follow. We are not to cheapen the gift of forgiveness by giving it prematurely or undeservedly to those who demand it and act as if they're entitled to it, and yet they have done nothing to merit it. The Lord's higher purpose is to change men's hearts and make them turn from evil, give up their wicked ways, and choose to follow Him instead of Satan. He does that by requiring repentance before forgiveness, not by giving evildoers a free ride. In Luke 7 and 3 and 4, Luke 7, 3 and 4, excuse me, 17, 3 and 4, it says, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and turn again unto thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Also in Matthew 18:21, it tells us where Peter says, Lord, how shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Seven times? And Jesus said to him, not until seven times, but until 70 times seven, which means indefinitely if he repents with you or to you. So Jesus tells us very clearly that we're to forgive someone who sins against us if they repent. He does not tell us to forgive everybody, including those who have absolutely no remorse and fully intend to continue abusing others and behaving badly. This would be preposterous and contradictory. God does not do nonsensical things that do not serve His ultimate purpose of bringing all men into His grace and His presence. When an abuser refuses to change his ways, stop abusing, and starts doing good, when an abuser refuses to change his ways, stop abusing, and starts doing good, we are able to grant him forgiveness. Excuse me, we are unable to grant him forgiveness. When we cannot forgive him because of his intention to continue repeating his weaknesses, if we do not forgive him, then God cannot forgive him either. So when an abuser refuses to change their ways, we cannot forgive them, so God cannot forgive them all either. So if someone's not repentant, we don't have to forgive them, do we? That's what it says here. But you know, we really should think about that. If we don't forgive somebody, problems can arise within us, correct? If we don't overlook what they've done to us, if we don't consider releasing them from the wrong that they committed against us or overlook that, then problems could arise. We could have bitterness and anger and evil thoughts left in our hearts because of it, as it talks about in Ephesians 4:31. We don't want to have any lingering effects that the devil can use against us. We want to get rid of those. So as far as not forgiving somebody, we need to seriously think about forgiving them or else overlooking the things that they've done to us. As far as a non-Christian, as forgiving non-Christians in the world, they don't have God on their side, so it's going to be a little different situation. We'll have to overlook or forgive them within us. God has to be the one that forgives them, but they have to come to God first, don't they? They haven't accepted Christ, so God can't forgive them until they do. until they take the steps of salvation and become a Christian. Now, I'm confident here that any Christian that has come before us and asked for forgiveness of a sin and repented of that in the past has been forgiven by all of us and forgiven by God. At least I would certainly hope so. I think we're very good here at showing, and we can see that by all those who go up and hug those who come forward and talk to them afterwards. It shows our love and our compassion that we have here for them and for others. We do a very good job of that. But now I'd like to look at how grace fits into that. What is grace? Is grace a part of forgiveness? Do we have grace here? Do we show grace to others? Grace has been defined in many different ways. When we talk about God's grace, we think of His giving His Son for our salvation. A good definition for God's grace could be God giving us what we don't deserve. God giving us what we don't deserve. We deserve the punishment of hell, but God graciously bestowed His Son upon us in the gift of His Son. By us knowing about God's grace, it causes us to seek more about how to use God's grace for others. Now, even though I can't give salvation to others, I can tell them about the Word. God is the one who gives salvation, but what we can do is we can be kind and gracious to them. Showing grace to others is a matter of dealing kindly with them, even if they don't deserve it. Grace can also mean to give others the benefit of the doubt, or trust them that they're doing the right thing, or they have something good in mind, or they have a good reason for doing something or not doing something. An example of this could be if someone missed church for some reason, do we automatically think bad of that person or that they missed church? Or do we use grace and give them the benefit of the doubt that they might have a good reason for it? And maybe the next time we see them, kindly ask if they're doing okay and that you missed them the other day. This is just one example. We could go on and on about that for different examples. This one example showing our grace with words. When speaking with others, we should use words that are kind and gentle. Obviously, there's times when we need to correct other people. There needs to be correction made. But it never has to be done in a hateful or mean-spirited way. We should find a way to gently say what needs to be said. In Colossians 4 and 6, it says, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man." And also Proverbs 15:1 says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." Another way that we can become a more graceful person is to look at the needs for other, look for needs of others. Can we help somebody today in a small way? Yes, all we have to do is look around. An example of this could be holding a door for somebody whose arms are full and can't open the door. That can be a small action, it seems, but it can help in a great way. If we will seek out little actions we can do for others, it will help us to become a more graceful person. Our ability to give people a lot of money to help their situation or do heroic actions are seldom in our grasp. We don't see those very often. A lot of us don't have that opportunity. But we can affect people every day with simple kindnesses and by showing grace in some way to them. So what are some of the other things we can do toward others through grace? First thing we can do is respond with grace. If we're criticized by anybody else, even if it's unjustly, we don't have to let other people walk over us. That's not what God wants. But we can respond in a gracious way. Accept what they have to say, listen to it, and thank them for their input. Even though the news that they give you might upset you in a great manner, make you very angry. But the way you respond can help the healing begin immediately. A quick response with anger will make you more angry. But the sooner you can respond with a smile and a calm spirit, the sooner you'll be able to see any truth in their words and make the changes that need to be made. Another way we can show grace is by having a graceful presence. We should take opportunities and be with someone that's in a time of grief, has lost a close relative. They don't need you to deliver some special speech to them or do anything grand for them or their family, even though you can help them in different ways. Your presence may be all that they need to show your love for them. Funerals and hospital stays are times when you can make a quick visit that can leave a big impact on somebody's life. You don't have to spend hours with them, but they just want to know that you care and you're thinking of them, even if it's just for 10 minutes. Stopping by to say hello can mean the world to them in their time of physical and emotional pain. Another thing we can do is forgive with grace. Here comes the grace with forgiveness. When somebody asks forgiveness, accept their apology graciously. They've come to you humbly asking you for your pardon. This is not a time to tell them why they should have done this so much sooner, nor is it a time appropriately to correct them and tell them they could have handled this a lot better. We should just allow them to see and to know that we've accepted their apology and forgive them with grace. Another thing we can do is learn to say we're sorry. And you know, a lot of people, I think, perceive saying you're sorry as weakness. Saying you're sorry is not weakness. It takes a lot more for a person to say they're sorry than it does for a person to not say they're sorry. When we make a mistake, we should swallow our pride and ask for forgiveness. At this point, I would like to ask for your forgiveness for anything that I've done to you in any way. And I hope that you will forgive me for anything that I've done to cause a problem for you. We all make mistakes. We all do things that other people don't like. Learn to say you're sorry. It's not an easy thing to do. It's not a weakness. But it's something that God wants us to do. He wants us to ask for forgiveness and to try to make ourselves better and try to make ourselves so that we can do a better job for Him. Maybe somebody's wronged you in some way and you responded inappropriately. You can ask them to forgive you for your response. That's what you can do. Even though they may not say they're sorry to you, remember, you should give grace to them. Grace is giving to other people what they don't deserve sometimes. Even in your opinion, if it's your opinion that they don't deserve it, an apology, you can ask them forgiveness for what you said to them in response. So learn to say you're sorry. It's not a weakness. Another thing is, say thank you to show grace to others. Many of these things are things I think I can improve on greatly. I don't always do some of these things to show grace to others. And I think this is something that a lot of people do well here and some other people can improve on. That's just the way it is. So think about these things. One of the great things you can do is say thank you. It doesn't cost anything, but you show other people gratitude and grace. You can write a simple card expressing your appreciation for something they've done for you. You can make a difference by putting a thank you on your lips and a thank you card in somebody's hand. And another thing is taking interest in others. And this is I got a little story here that I just picked up that goes along with this. And it says, I was introducing a friend to a local pastor recently, and a pastor asked my friend a few questions about himself. Then the pastor took the time and looked my friend in the eyes, and he answered. The pastor responded with an attitude of genuine interest towards my friend. The whole conversation lasted less than 5 minutes, but after he left my friend, immediately my friend said to me, what a gracious man. This pastor did nothing more than ask a few questions and show an interest in my friend's answers. Certainly it's appropriate to respond to questions when people ask you questions about yourself, but just try to ask a few questions of your own to them. And to learn about other people, let people talk about themselves and then be interested in what they have to say. Be a good listener. This is a good way to show grace to them. This is a good way to be a good example as a Christian to them. Have any of you seen the movie Fireproof? I think it's a very good movie to watch simply because it's pretty clean and does a lot of says a lot of good things. But in the story, if you haven't seen it, the man is trying to win his wife back after he has done some things that he shouldn't have done to her, and she's very, extremely upset with him. And he's trying to gracefully try to win her back. Her reactions are extremely cruel and mean and horrible to him. Yet he just continues to keep trying, and eventually his marriage is restored by the gracious actions that he made to her. It has a very good ending to that. So in conclusion, we all have different personalities. We all have different ways of doing things. If we were all the same, it'd be boring, wouldn't it? And sometimes because we're human, because we're imperfect, we can say or do something to get under each other's skin and cause an issue to arise between us or cause a lack of closeness between us. And if that happens, it can grow and grow into bitterness between us and between the two of us and within us. Colossians 3 and 13, we've already read about forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Here it's telling us to forbear or overlook each other's traits or others that bother us in some way, and forgive them or overlook them as Christ has forgiven us. Even if they don't come to us and ask for forgiveness, we should gracefully overlook what they've done to us if possible. But if we do have an issue that is extremely hard for us with another brother or sister in Christ and it continues to bother us, then we should take them and talk to them in private, whether it's in a classroom here or at a meeting place somewhere. We just don't want to just go to the elders and drop that in their lap and say, would you take care of this? This person did this to me. I want you to handle that. That's something between us and them. We need to go and talk to them in some manner. And if we do it gracefully and lovingly, it shouldn't be a problem. But we need to do it ourselves if possible. Unless it's something to do with the worship service that needs to be addressed or something like that. Our goal should be to lovingly and gracefully share our feelings about this issue with them and hopefully to resolve it if possible. Or at least understand where they're coming from. We may not know why they've said these things or done these things. That way we can kind of know where they're coming from. And then hopefully we can be at peace with them and with us, within us. As it says again in Ephesians 4 and 32, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know, I have seen and heard things here, and I've said things myself that I'm not proud of, whether it's here or somewhere else, that shows that I am lacking in these things. This kind of smacked me in the face in some ways to make me realize some things I need to work on. Maybe these are things that you need to work on also. Like I said before, I've seen and heard things here also that show that we are lacking here at times in doing these things. My goal is not to, by this talk, it's not to say really bad things about anybody here. It's just to make you aware that we can improve. This just shows that we can do better on some things as far as forgiveness and grace. Things that we can do to show our care for each other in Christ. We all have the same goal, don't we? We all have the same goal of heaven. So we should try to work the best we can to get along with each other and to help each other to get there. And to strive for the ultimate goal of being together in heaven someday. In Ephesians 1:7 it says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Because of God, we have redemption through his blood. Forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of God's grace. And lastly, I'd like to read Acts 20 and 32. Acts 20 and 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. That kind of sums it up, doesn't it? We now can be commended to God and to the word of his grace, which is going to build us up and give us an eternal home in heaven with all those who are sanctified. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? This will conclude my thoughts for this morning. I'm going to offer a gospel invitation to anyone here who has not put on Christ, who have not put on salvation and taken the steps necessary to be saved, or if you've done something that you feel that you need to make right before us, or if you feel that you've done something that you'd like to bring forward and get some help for, or if you'd like to place membership, or if we can help you in any way, we ask that you come forward as we stand and sing.